Thank you for joining us for another lesson from God's Word. The West Huntsville Church of Christ at Providence is located at 1519 Old Monrovia Road, Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. Anytime you're in the Huntsville area, we hope you'll stop in and be part of our worship. Sunday morning worship is at 9 o'clock, with Bible class immediately following. Sunday evening worship is at 5. Midweek Bible study is held Wednesdays at 7.
Reading from Acts chapter 17, verses 30 and 31. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead.
Oh, that men would give thanks unto the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. God is good all the time. God is good all the time. God is good all the time. Balance. We need balance in our lives. We need balance in our homes. We need balance in our schools. We need balance in congregations, in our church programs, in our church ministries. We need balance in our elderships throughout our brotherhood. We need balance in our pulpits across our brotherhood. We need balance in the pulpit here at the West Huntsville Church of Christ. I'm preaching today about a subject that many people no longer want to hear. They say, oh, preacher, we need positive preaching. Come on now, preacher. Come on, preach positive. Build us up. Preach about heaven and tell us about how everybody's going there, regardless of how they live. After all, God is love, grace, and mercy. Come on, preacher, build us up now. We don't want to hear a negative sermon about judgment. We don't want to hear about hell. Come on now, build us up. These individuals are failing to realize a very important point. They are failing to realize that God is holy and righteous and pure. If God overlooks sin, if God turns a blind eye to sin, he would cease being holy and righteous and pure. God cannot overlook the evil that man is committing. All sins must be accounted for. All sin must be accounted for if God is to remain holy, righteous, and pure. And so we need to understand it's going to be taken care of in one or two ways. Either it will be taken care of by God's love, grace, and mercy, or it will be taken care of by a strict and final judgment upon man. All sins will be accounted for, and you can mark that down today. We need a balanced pulpit. We need balanced preaching. We need preaching that declares the whole counsel of God. We need preaching that's in season and out of season. Now, this phrase, in season and out of season, it originates in 2 Timothy chapter 4 at verse 2. It instructs believers to be ready to preach the word of God at all times, to be ready to preach regardless of if in favorable conditions or unfavorable conditions. It emphasizes the need to consistently share the gospel when it might be difficult or when it might be unpopular. The late and talented Marshall Keble said regarding preaching in season and out of season, he says it means preach it when they like it, and preach it when they don't like it. And that's what I plan to do this morning. Someone might say, Oh, I see. The preacher's, he's going to try to scare us this morning. He's going to try to scare us up. He's going to talk about the judgment. He's going to talk about hell. Well, let me ask you a question. Is hell a reality? You can mark it down. Hell is a reality. Hell and judgment is a Bible subject. And if we are to be balanced, if we are to preach the whole counsel of God, there are times when we need to talk about the coming judgment day. Somebody says, well, I tell you what, I think you preachers just try to scare people about the judgment and about hell. Well, now listen, I want to tell you something. When I think about judgment, and when I think about hell, it scares me. I don't know about you, but it scares me. And if it doesn't scare you, you might have a significant problem. I'm reminded of the little boy who spilled a glass of milk. It was late at night. They were getting ready to go to bed, and he was going to have a glass of milk. He spilled it on the floor. And his mother said to him, said, they lived out in the country. And so the mother said, son, I left the mop out on the porch today to dry out. Son, run, get the mop. It's out on the front porch. The little boy said, okay. He ran down to the front door. He opened the front door. Listen, out in the country, there's very little light. It's really dark out there in the country. And he opened the door, and it was pitch black dark. He heard the noises of the night. He just froze in his tracks. He turned around. He went back to his mother, and she looked at him. She said, boy, where's that mop? He did like this, and she said, boy, you get out there and get me that mop. The little boy ran down to the front door. He opened the door, and he froze in his tracks. It was pitch black dark. He was scared to death. Bowed his head, he came walking back to his mother, and she realized all of a sudden, she realized that he was scared. She said, oh, son, she said, don't worry. She said, God's out there. Little boy smiled real big. His eyes got big. He ran down to the front door. He stuck his arm out. He said, God, would you please hand me that mop? Now, the thought of heaven and hell is a wonderful thought in the sense that the Holy Spirit has taught us concerning these two things that will be coming in the future. Now, you know, some things, I think about it, and I think about being, you know, this idea of being scared. Some things should scare us. Young people, there are some things that should scare you. And I'm telling you, the judgment and hell are two of those things. Those two things ought to scare us. In the times of this ignorance, God winked at. But now he commands all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. There is no truth more clearly taught in God's word, no fact more firmly established, no warning more emphatic than the truth of this text concerning the great day of judgment. These words were spoken by the Apostle Paul. Paul, speaking to this very intelligent audience of people, he declared to them that there was coming a day that the world would be judged in righteousness. Paul said there's coming a time of judgment for every member of the human family. Now this text suggests the following things about the judgment. First of all, the certainty of the judgment. Secondly, the persons who will be judged on that occasion. Thirdly, the basis of the judgment. Fourthly, the judge that will preside on that occasion. Fifthly, some issues of the judgment. And then sixthly, some things that will happen on that day. Now let's take each one of these one at a time. First of all, the certainty of the judgment. It is an appointment of God. Listen to Hebrews 9 and verse 27. It is appointed unto man once to die, and then cometh the judgment. It's not just a scheme to get men to live better moral lives. Oh no, it is the plan of God to judge, to reward, or to punish. Now there are two events that are going to take place in the future. And it's not maybe. These are certain, and that is death and the judgment. If Jesus Christ does not return while we are alive to judge this old world, we're all going to die. And then there is the judgment. Now, you know, there are appointments that we choose to make, and we can choose to break them. For instance, I'm thinking about a businessman. When it came to going to the dentist, that man, he was absolutely scared to death to go to the dentist. He was frightened of the dentist. But he had an appointment, and about 2 days out before his appointment, he was sitting at his desk at his office, and he got to hearing this in his ears. Oh, man. He reached over. He picked up that phone. He said, ma'am, he said, I'm canceling my appointment. You see, he made the appointment. And he had the right. And he did. He broke the appointment. But I'm telling you this morning, there are two appointments that are going. God makes them for us. And we cannot break those appointments. That is death and the judgment. God makes those appointments for us. Many of the inspired writers testified concerning the judgment. Let's look at the testimony of Solomon. In Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, verses 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or bad. Now, did you hear that? God's going to bring every work into judgment, every work, but he's going to bring the secret things into judgment. Oh, there's a lot of people that go out in the darkness of night. They commit things under the darkness of night, and they think they've gotten away with it. Nobody knows. It was under the darkness of night. I want to tell you, somebody knows. And that somebody is Almighty God. In the judgment day, he's going to bring every work into judgment and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. There's the testimony of Jesus in Matthew chapter 12, verses 36 and 37. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Then there is the testimony of Peter in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17. And if you call on the Father, who without respect to persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Listen to 1 Peter chapter 4, 17 and 18. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it begin first at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Listen to 2 Peter 3 and verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. The elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Then there is the testimony of John in the Revelation chapter 20, verses 12 to 14. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And they were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. Listen to it. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Oh, yes, my friend, there's a day coming, a day of judgment coming for every member of the human family. That judgment day is going to be one of the saddest days the world has ever known. There will never be a day as sad as that day when individuals are going to hear the words, "Depart from me, you cursed, into an everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." But you know what? That day is also going to be one of the most beautiful, glorious days the world has ever known. When Jesus looks down and he says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joys of the Lord." Oh, what a glorious day. What a happy day. So the judgment day is going to be a mixture. It's going to be a horrible, horrible, sad day. And it's going to be a magnificent day for those who are ready to meet the Lord. But secondly, let's now notice the persons who are to be judged. All nations, all colors, he will judge the whole world, as was noted in our lesson text. No favoritism will be shown on that day to any particular color of people or any particular race of people. Jesus Christ will judge on an individual basis. Let's look at some scriptures to support this. In Matthew 25, 31 to 32, "And when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall he gather all nations, and he shall gather them one from another, as he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats." Listen to Romans 2 and verse 6. "Who will render to every man according to his works." In Romans 14 and verse 12. "So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God." In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 8. "Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his labor." Listen to Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 to 9. "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall reap of life everlasting." The basis of the judgment: by what will man be judged? Individuals are going to be judged by their deeds, by the things they've done in the body, whether those things be good or bad. They will be judged by their failure to live holy lives. They will be judged by their feeble excuses. Oh, listen, some of the excuses that man gives, why, it's a joke. And man, on the day of judgment, they won't even give those excuses that we're hearing today, why they don't do this and why they don't do that. They won't even give that excuse when they stand before Jesus Christ in judgment. Their feeble excuses. They're going to be judged based on their feeble excuses. They will be judged for their reveling. their drinking, their profanity, and their adultery. But then God will also judge individuals by their good deeds, by their acts of kindness, by their acts of mercy, by their acts of love. And you know, when I think about this and judgment, people being judged for their acts of kindness, their acts of mercy, their acts of love, their goodness, I think of our dear sweet sister Pat Dacey. Oh yeah. Pat's going to stand before Jesus and she's going to be judged for her good works, her good language, her good life, her good deeds. Mike, we love you. We've been praying our hearts out for you. And we're praying that God will comfort you and give you strength. But Mike, all of us can look at Pat's life and we can rejoice. There's the example. She set an example for us to follow. We need to have a life like she lived. And I think of Linda, Don. I think of your Linda the same way. I think of others in this congregation that have gone on just recently. Individuals will be judged by their words. Listen to Matthew 12:37. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. As I said a moment ago, they'll be judged for cursing. They'll be judged for their idle words. They will be judged for gossiping and for backbiting and for words of hate. Every secret thing will be brought into the judgment. Listen to Romans 2 and verse 6. Who will render to every man according to his deeds? Now I want to say to everybody in our auditorium this morning, you cannot hide from God. You cannot hide from God. Or you might hide from the elders. You might cover it up. The elders might not know. You might hide it from Paul Owens. You might hide it from DeMar. You might hide it from the members of this congregation. You may even hide it from some of your family members. But you cannot hide your sins from God. We've already pointed out the text that says he's going to bring every secret thing into judgment. You just think it's secret. God knows all about it. We may fool man, but we can't fool God. Listen to Ecclesiastes 12:14. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether they be good or bad. Everything in the judgment day will be openly revealed. Now, I want you to listen. I'm asking everybody in this auditorium to listen up. Listen up. There are individuals. I've been preaching the gospel now. I'm in year 61. For 61 years. And I've seen this over my lifetime as a preacher. There are individuals in the church that they're living a faithful, dedicated life. They're serving the Lord. They've been baptized. They've been doing the right things. And then, unbelievably, then one day they stop living that life. And they go out into the world and they begin to sin and they begin to live a worldly life. They begin to curse. They begin to drink. They begin to commit adultery. They begin to do other worldly things. And they live like that for a good period in their life. And then, one day, you see, they had that early training, that early teaching. They get to thinking about, I need to get back in to the church. I need to get back. So what happens is they come in, they sit near the back. It isn't long until they're sitting down about midway. And then they get right up pretty close to the front, and somebody calls on them to lead a prayer. Or they are called upon to teach a Bible class. And the first thing you know, the church has embraced them. They're in full fellowship with the church. But listen to me. They never repented of their sins. They basically tried to slip back in, and they did slip back into the fellowship of the local church, but you don't slip back into the good graces of God. You don't slip back into the good graces of God. You got to repent. And I'm going to tell you, people that have done that, and listen, the chances are there's some people sitting right here that might have done that in your lives. I found that to be the case. And this invitation in just a few minutes is for you. Oh, you don't want to lose your soul. You can't slip back into the good graces of God. You've got to repent. You've got to confess your sins and your wrongs. And God loves you. He will forgive you. The blood of Christ will cleanse you. But if you don't ask and you don't get that heart right, my sweet Dixie's always talking about we got to get that heart right. Got to keep a good heart. You'll lose your soul. Those sins that you're back in the fellowship of the church, all is well. But then in the day of judgment, Jesus will remind you of your transgressions unrepented of. Number four, who will be the judge? Acts 17:31. Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. That man is Jesus Christ. The Son of God is going to be the judge on that occasion. There will be no injustice on that trial that day because Jesus himself will be the judge. Listen to John 5:22. For the Father judgeth no man, but committeth all judgment unto the Son. No injustice will be done on that day, the day of judgment, because Jesus Christ himself will be doing the judging. Listen to 2 Timothy 4:1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. So you can be assured that this will take place. Whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. Just as surely as God raised Christ from the dead, just that certain, Jesus Christ will judge this old world. But then fifthly, what are the issues of the judgment? They will be final. Listen to me. Jesus is your Savior right now. Right now, this moment, Jesus is your Savior, but it will not always be that way. I'm reminded of the little boy in a southern town. He was out front of his house playing with a ball, throwing it up into the air and catching it. In this small, rural southern town, there was a young attorney, a lawyer, who lived on the edge of town. And you know southern towns. There's usually a square, and on the square there's a courthouse. And so the attorney, he would walk to work. He didn't drive, it was so close. He just walked to work each day. One morning he was on his way to his office. He was walking along the sidewalk. He saw the little boy. The little boy was throwing the ball up in the air and catching it. And the attorney just kept his eye on the little boy, watching him. And the little boy finally, he threw it real high. And it came down and it rolled out of his hands and went right out into the street. This little boy didn't look to the right. He didn't look to the left. He ran right out into the street after that ball. This attorney was watching and he looked up and there was a car coming at a high rate of speed. This young attorney, without thinking about himself, rushed out into the road, grabbed the little boy and literally dove to safety. The car just barely missed them. The mother was standing over there. She saw all of this developing. She was screaming her head off, horrified. As this little boy came up in life, his mother told that story. If he heard it one time, he heard it 1,000. Of how this young lawyer rushed out in the road and grabbed him and dove to safety and saved his life. Well, years transpired. The little boy grew up to be a young man. The attorney, the young lawyer, became a judge in that county, and it was his courthouse. This young man committed first-degree murder. He was arrested. He was brought into the court of this judge. The jury found him guilty of first-degree murder. When the time for sentencing came, the young man was standing before the judge, and the judge said, "Young man, is there anything you'd like to say to the court before I pass sentence?" He said, "Yes, sir, Your Honor, there is." He said, "Your Honor, my mother has told me over and over, I've heard her tell our friends, how when I was just a little boy, you rushed out in the road and you pulled me to safety. You saved my life. Your Honor, I'm asking you to spare me one more time." And the judge looked at the young man and he said, "Son, then I was your Savior. Now I am your judge." And he pronounced the death sentence on that young man. Right now, right this moment, young people, right this moment, Jesus is your Savior. People say, "I want grace and mercy." Grace and mercy is in Christ. Right now, in Christ. But when you stand in judgment, it is a day of reckoning. And Jesus will pronounce the sentence that you deserve, the sentence that basically you've earned by the way you've lived your deeds in the body and the flesh. Then fifthly, there will be no appealing to a higher court. This is the highest court known to man. There will be no termination of the sentence. It will be for all eternity. You know, we preachers, Keith, I get tickled at some of the illustrations we preachers use. But we're human beings. Now, for instance, we say, we're here, a sermon like this, we try to describe eternity. We try to, and we say, if there was a little ant, and there was a string that stretched from the earth to the moon. And this ant got one grain of sand, and he carried it to the moon, and he came back and he got one more grain of sand. When 10 worlds like ours had been removed to the moon, eternity would just be beginning. How inadequate, how totally inadequate that is. Or, here's another one. There's a termite, and this termite eats a building all the way to the ground. He waits 10,000 years. He eats another building to the ground. When 10 worlds like ours have been consumed, eternity would just be beginning. How feeble. How inadequate. I'm telling you, the finite mind of man cannot grasp eternity. None of us understand it. It begins and it never ends. You don't want to be in hell. People say, "Why am I here?" You're here on this earth. I get so sick of that question. People listen, I've taught in university for 30-something years. And sometimes a young person will come and say, "Well, why are we here?" Why are we here? We're here to get ready to go there. That's what it's all about. And we need to make preparation. Let's look at some things that will happen. The Lord will descend from heaven. Listen to 1 Thessalonians 4:16. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. The dead shall be raised, and the living shall be changed." In 1 Corinthians 15, at verse 52, "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Our bodies will be changed. A righteous person's spirit will be placed in an immortal body, able to live in the presence of God for eternity. Listen to John 5, 28 and 29. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. And then the books are going to be opened. Listen to Revelation 20, 12 to 15. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And they were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And he says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I want to ask you a very, very serious question. Is your name written in the book of life? I'm talking about right now. Is it written right now in the book? Is your name written in the book of life? If it's not, we're going to have an invitation in just a few minutes. And you, yes, you need to come. Your name, if it's not recorded in the book of life, this text says you will be eternally in a lake of fire and brimstone. There will be, on that occasion, a universal wailing. Listen to Revelation 1:7. Behold, he cometh with the clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. And all the kindreds of the earth, listen to it, shall wail because of him. Oh, there will be on the day of judgment a universal wailing. All shall be judged. You and I shall be there. Sodom and Gomorrah shall be there. Listen to Matthew 10:15. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. The people of Nineveh will be there. All races, all nationalities will be there. The patriarchs of old will be there. And then the great judge shall separate them, listen to it, one by one, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats, Matthew 25:32. The Bible says a great line is going to be drawn. And God, Jesus Christ, will separate the righteous from the unrighteous. That line is going to separate, husbands and wives. It's going to separate brothers and sisters, siblings. It's going to separate friends. Listen to Matthew 25:34. Then the king shall say to them on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And then he shall condemn the wicked to eternal damnation and punishment. Listen to Matthew 25:41. Then shall he say to them on his left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into an everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Oh, it's going to be a sad, sad day. It's going to be a sad day for those who have depended on their own morality to save them. It's going to be a sad day for those who have relied on their own conscience instead of the Word of God to direct their lives. It's going to be a sad day for those who have lived for themselves. Sound like Americans, doesn't it? For those who have lived for themselves and for their pleasures. I tell you right now as I'm speaking this morning, there's guys that the Lake Gunnersville is full of boats and fishing poles and the golf carts that are all over the golf courses this morning. Why aren't they in church getting ready to meet God in the judgment? But their work, they're involved with their own pleasure. I've had some of them tell me over the years, I like to commune with nature. They better get in service to God and commune with the God of heaven and the judge of all judges. We need to make ready for the coming judgment day. By obedience to the gospel of Christ. By obedience to him who will be the great judge in that day. Listen, what you need to do to go to heaven is you need to believe. I've had people tell me straight up, I'll never believe in that Jesus. Well, an individual that doesn't believe is going to hear the words depart. And they made it at their own choosing. The Bible teaches us we must repent. You've got to repent. You've got to humble your heart. Bow your soul down and say, oh God, have mercy on me. I am a sinner. And I want to repent. You've got to confess. If you don't, Jesus said, if you don't confess me, I won't confess you before my Father which is in heaven. Is there somebody in our audience right now that has never stood before a group and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? If you've never made that good confession, you need to make it this morning. The invitation is basically for you. And then once one individual's confessed, he needs to be baptized. What's baptism about? Well, it symbolizes a death to sin. The sinner puts to death his actions. He puts to death the sinner. The sinner's buried under the waters of baptism. He's raised to a new life, a new creature. His sins are washed away in the blood, not the water, in the blood of Christ. And then Jesus adds him to his church. If you're sitting here this morning and you've never taken those steps, well, then you need to do that desperately. Listen to Romans 14, verse 11. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess to God. I've had people tell me, I'll never confess with my tongue. I'll never bow my knee. Oh, yes, you will. That individual doesn't understand. You may not bow your knee now. You may not confess now. But when you stand before Jesus in judgment, you will bow your knee and you will confess. But then, tragically, too late. Too late, too late. The very thing you said you'd never do, you did, but it's too late. There's no benefit to it. You got to do it now. You got to do it from a good heart in order that you might be saved when you die. But every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. And once an individual is baptized into Christ, then you got to live faithfully the Christian life. But if you live faithfully the Christian life until the judge comes back to judge the world, listen to this text. In 2 Peter 1:11, an entrance shall be administered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So in the great day of judgment, listen to me, the books are going to be open. And the book of life will be open. And if your name is not in that book because of your actions and your unwillingness to do what God told you to do, you will be lost. Oh, what a sad day. What an unsuccessful life, as the children talk about on Sunday night. To live this life and then not go to heaven when you die. I want to give you an opportunity this time to come forward. I want to ask you something. You be honest. Is your name recorded in the book of life? If you died 2 minutes from now, would you go to heaven? Or would you go to hell? If you say, oh, Brother Demar, I'd go to hell. You need to respond. You need to come. God loves you. God sent his son. Jesus died on the cross. He was beaten and scourged and shed his blood He died for you. He loves you. But he will not save you. He's your Savior this morning. Come to him. Let him save you this morning. But when you stand before him in the judgment, he will be your judge. If you have need, please come while we stand and while we sing.
We hope you have enjoyed this lesson from God's Word. If you would like to continue your study of New Testament Christianity, please send your name and address to World Bible School, West Huntsville Church of Christ, 1519 Old Monrovia Road, Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. Or if you prefer, send your name and address by email to wbs@westhuntsville.org.